Aloha, everyone. Much love and blessings from Hawaii. We're so happy that you're here. Thank you for taking the time out of your wonderful life to show up on this call, this group experience, where we can all come together and share the love and appreciate each other for all our gifts and for all your gifts and for what we're doing here together. Because, quite honestly, not many people have the ability to really look at themselves, to overcome their ego, to really make changes in their life and keep making those changes. So the fact you're here is in a sense, a miracle. And I just want to really congratulate you and appreciate you for really showing up and stepping up and taking your life to the next level, because the world needs that. The world needs people who can do that. We're all human. We all have mistakes. We all make mistakes. We all have ways that we can improve. But just consistently doing the work and looking at yourself, looking at myself, all of us looking at ourselves and really making the changes on ourselves is absolutely the best news ever. And that is guaranteed success for you in your life. Taylor, anything you'd like to say? Are you there?
I am here.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. I just popped in.
Wonderful. So, Brother is here with me, and we're just stoked to be here. So, just a few little practical things before we kick off the call tonight. Firstly, if you are live on the call and you want to ask a question, and you're on your computer, then type your question into the little box and we can see it. And if you're on the phone and you'd like to say hello, we'd love to hear from you. And you can press *2 and then I can unmute you from being muted and we can talk. So, and by the way, I really do appreciate everyone who shares their thoughts and feelings with us and asks questions, because it might be something that you think is small and not important and, you know, not worthy of being asked, or you might think it's too big and it's going to take up too much time. But whatever your question is, we want to know what they are so we can help you. So don't feel afraid or don't feel that it's not okay, because it definitely is okay, and that's why we're doing these calls. So I just want to encourage anyone who hasn't been sharing questions that you're most welcome to, and we look forward to them. Isn't that right, brother?
Absolutely, brother, yes. We are living in fabulous times, indeed, and as you've been hearing us say often, that there are phenomenal energies impacting us inside and all around us. And we are really being challenged to exist in that state of invincibility. And it's all about those morning rituals that allow us to establish that state of invincibility, where we are immune to what Shakespeare called the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune and the sea of troubles. We're immune to all of that. Talks about it in Psalm 91. As well, where you live in such a state of grace, you're immune to whatever the world is throwing at us. And this is what superhero training is all about, developing that physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual state of being that you can access instantaneously. How long does it take? Instantaneously. It's never more than a breath away. And ones that have been on the course a little while now, you should be able to really get yourself into that optimal state anytime, any place, anywhere, just by taking a few breaths or clapping your hands or snapping your fingers and just, you know, just pulling yourself together and getting focused. A little rebound in, take a shower, whatever it is, you should be able to shift your state virtually instantaneously, because the way we're moving forward now, Brother Michael and I were just sharing, and he was saying that at the end of his day, at the end of very, very busy days, very often he has no recollection of what he's actually been doing because he's so in the moment, and this is a new moment right here, right now, and the energies that are coming in to sweep us into something absolutely completely different, completely and utterly different to this world. All the scriptures talk about Jesus coming like a thief in the night, and in the twinkling of an eye we will all be transformed. And we hear about this from the powerful ancient yogic texts saying exactly the same thing. Prepare yourself, because it can happen in a second. And that's what this is all about. You being able to utilize these resources and apply these principles and teachings into an instant shift of your state of being anytime, any place, anywhere, to deal with exactly what you have to deal with, and with ease and grace. So, yeah, these are fascinating times indeed.
Yay. So I just would love everyone to just take a few breaths, take a few deep breaths, and I'm going to ask you a very important question, for everyone. Something that I like to ask myself repeatedly, and if I don't ask this question to myself, strange things start to happen. So I highly recommend you take the time right now. So let's just take a few beautiful, delicious, gorgeous, deep breaths. And as you know from the breathing, you know, really breathe in deep and hold the breath. Breathing in that nishchay. Really enjoying it consciously. This is a new moment. This is a new life. The past is past. The past is gone. There's no past. All you have is right now, right now, right now. Breathing gently, sweetly, and deeply. Noticing a nice smile on your face. Beautiful smile on your face. Noticing where you feel most comfortable as you breathe. And just becoming aware of all the good things in your life, the things that are working for you, things that you appreciate as you smile and breathe gently. Just get ready to answer this question. Are you willing to feel good all the time? Are you willing to feel good all the time? And if you are, then a nice big grin. Increase the size of your smile and really feel it in your heart that you are willing to feel good all the time. Each moment. The next question, if you're feeling good, is to ask yourself, are you willing for your life to go well all the time? Are you willing for your life to go well all the time? Just tune into that, and let's just ask these together, and this is something for you to remember in the future. Are you willing to feel good and have your life go well all the time. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, well done for doing this. And just a little extra tip for you is I highly encourage you to ask yourself this question. Am I willing to have my life go well all the time? Am I willing to have my life go well and feel good all the time? Ask that to yourself again and again and again, and keep reaffirming that you are. Because each one of us has the ability, and we are all designed to feel good and to have a good life. That's our design. But we have the different sabotaging elements within us that want to ruin the good things in our lives. And especially if you're about to make a real change or make a breakthrough in a project or, you know, change a relationship or improve something or really make a breakthrough or have some success, some significant success, or put yourself out there. Anything that's, you know, a real big change on the horizon or just about to happen, since that's there, be prepared for some sabotage element or some situation in your life to come up and throw a spanner in the works and shut the whole thing down. Blow things out of proportion, or someone dies, or some random thing happens. And you can ask yourself this question when those things happen. Am I willing to feel good, have my life go well all the time? And that just reinforces and realigns you with your natural state of success and abundance. And so just be aware, this is just a little word of caution, be aware that when you're about to make breakthroughs or you're making breakthroughs, this sabotaging part of us, which we all have, comes in and tries to ruin our life, you know, at that very moment, and makes things messy. And superheroes, we need to keep moving forward, and keep asking these deep questions, and keep staying in good form, and keep looking after ourselves, and keep really appreciating the good things in our life. And if there's anything that we need to change, then we can always ask people, you know, could you change this thing? It would be better if it was like this. Have the ability to really ask for your requests, and they'll be met, you know. So let's keep moving forward, whatever's going on. Taylor, anything you want to say about this capacity to feel good all the time, and the research you've done on this topic, fascinating topic, because every day we have the opportunity to have the best day ever, to move forward with our life's work, to move forward on our mission, but we can quite happily sabotage the entire thing every day as well if we're not careful.
Yes, well, there's certainly no doubt about that. Certainly no doubt. It's an easy thing to sabotage. And well, I have done a lot of research on this topic because I'm 100% committed to pleasure being what the ruling principle of the day. And in fact, what I often do is I look over my whole day's agenda, although these days that's a little tricky because everything is completely unpredictable. But if I think I know what's going to happen, in any case, I look over my agenda and I just sit with it for a few minutes and feel into how do I feel about all those things that I have on my today's list of activities. And I'll often realize, you know, wow, that's just way too many things. Probably at the end of the day I'm not going to really feel good or something. And I'll often reorganize my whole day based on the pleasure principle. I like to keep the pleasure principle as the overriding sort of, you know, energy that I want to maintain throughout the whole day. And oftentimes, if it looks like it's just way too many things or I don't think I can really do all that or something like that, then I'll just completely reorganize. Or interestingly, someone will call right at that moment and cancel, you know, just say, you know what, I can't do the appointment. And I notice that I'm completely relieved because I was actually feeling, well, it just looks like too much. And so I have found that it's a really good idea to design your each day with pleasure being the operating principle for what calls you into action and how you design what you're going to do, who you're going to do it with, and what you're going to give yourself. And, you know, I spent about 5 years with working with people that made this their number one priority. It was this whole group of people, scientists that were studying the nervous system of human beings. And what they discovered is that human beings' nervous system is actually designed completely and totally for pleasure. It's similar to dolphins, actually. Dolphins are geared completely and totally for pleasure. That's their whole nervous system is geared for that. And they that's why they love to just play and float around, and they'll play with anything, you know, little plastic bags even, you know, whatever it is. And they just enjoy, you know, just being in pleasure all day long. This is a natural state, by the way, and it's our natural state. However, we've kind of reversed that whole equation and have become pain bodies, interestingly, they discovered. And, you know, it happens kind of early, beginning with birth, which for many people is a painful process, although, you know, more and more that equation is shifting to become a static birth. But be that as it may. And then it kind of goes from there. Every time you're a child and you're having the best time ever, it's usually when kids are really totally just having the best time ever, like jumping on the beds, going completely out of control. It's when that climax builds to the furious peak that all the adults in the room just put a halt to the whole thing. You know, just like, hold on a minute. This is getting way too out of control here. There's way too much pleasure going on here. And, you know, everyone has to sit down and be quiet and be well-behaved. And so, interestingly, what they discovered is that we naturally suppress how much pleasure we can have, including things which should naturally give us pleasure, like orgasms, for example. The real natural length of an orgasm should be 48 hours for women and men, where now, as you can see, it's a matter of minutes for most men, maybe less, I don't even know, but, and this is just preposterous, but, you know, like usually our natural state is to be in a complete orgasmic state at all times. This is the natural way our nervous system and who we are as natural creatures is designed. I mean, a low-level orgasmic state, you know, not necessarily in cosmic orgasmic state all day long, although, you know, that's certainly possible. But so anyways, they did all these massive studies, years and years, and they discovered that really, in order to switch that equation back to where it naturally be, they had to isolate people and bombard them with pleasure, because what happens is we will only allow ourselves so much pleasure to where we feel like, all right, that's enough. You know, I can't take anymore. I don't know what will happen. I just might explode. You know, who knows? But it's a very unusual state to get in. I remember once about having that experience when I was in the presence of a very, very powerful human being, one of the most powerful human beings on the planet. And I was backstage at this event, and I'd been invited to it. And, you know, I was back there with all these top people, you know, people from, you know, NASA. And anyways, this individual came over to me because I had written a letter that he had read. I don't know how it got to him, but anyways, he had read it, and he was totally moved by it, and he invited me to meet him backstage at this event. And he came over to me, and I was, you know, I don't know what age I was, maybe like 18 or so, and he came walking up to me. I was in the green room with all these top important people on the planet, just waiting to talk to him. And I was completely nervous. I mean, because you know, this is a real high level individual, and he came over to me. He kind of scanned the room. He talked to a few people, and then he walked right up to me, and he said, "You know, I just wanted to really just acknowledge you for this letter." And it was just this random poem that I'd written. Somehow he got a hold of. And he proceeded then to acknowledge me. And I remember he was looking at me right in the eyes. And I can't tell you what he said, but all I know was I had the experience that I've never been acknowledged that like that in my life. Like he was speaking deeply to my soul. And he was praising me at a level, and because he was such an important person, I just couldn't even contain it. I remember thinking that my smile, that my face was, I was smiling so hard, I felt like if I smiled any harder, my whole entire face was just going to crack open and disintegrate, and I was going to explode into nothingness, instantly combust. It was really a particular feeling. And what I realized was I had reached my maximum of what I could allow into my nervous system of appreciation. Like I went beyond where I had ever allowed myself to go to really let in appreciation. I think the only reason I did it is because, well, one, I was nervous because, you know, it's an important guy. And two, I didn't know what else to do because I wasn't going to interrupt them. And I wasn't going to say that's not true because, you know, he was important and everything. But that instant when I went beyond where I had ever gone before in allowing appreciation in, instantly reorganizes all of my molecules. I could feel it. It shook my entire being into smithereens. And I stood there, and there was nothing I could say. Nothing. I smashed my whole reality, and he just, you know, stared at me a few minutes more and turned around and walked away. And that was one of the most pivotal points in my life, because I remembered from that moment on that there was opportunity to go beyond where I had never been, with regard to anything. And so essentially that's what happens in this, these people do, is they take people and they secluded them in like this whole retreat center. It was quite expensive. It was like a $10,000 course. And all they did all day long was surround them, bombard them with pleasure, more than they could handle. You know, just more than that anyone has ever done to them. Just constant 24/7 attention and pleasure. Now, you may think, well, wow, that would be really great. But in fact, you know, what they discovered, it was really challenging for people to be able to have that much pleasure in their lives. You know, it was really, really challenging. But at the end of the 10 days, you know, it was a 10-day thing, you actually switched your nervous system back on. The switch, whatever that switch is, gets turned back on. And once it's on, that's it. It's all over. All you then do is seek pleasure. You are orientated like a little, you know, your GPS then is reset. And that's what your guiding principle. And it's you know, the best thing ever. So, you know, ever since then, I've really, really made a point to practice those principles. You know, that's why, you know, like people, you know, I'm taking 5-6 baths a day. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, people are like, how do you have time to do that? What are you doing? Why are you taking 2 baths? Well, it's because it gives me pleasure. Well, you know, if I was near an ocean, I might jump in the ocean. But so, yeah, I think one of the things I'm realizing in most of the conversations I'm having with people these days is that what's so important is for us, because of the way life is coming at us and how we really are, like Michael was saying, living in instantaneous moment-to-moment reality, to the degree that we can assure ourselves that we are taking care of ourselves and providing pleasure for ourselves and others is paramount. It's paramount. At the end of the day, you want to have assured that for yourself. You want to have assured that for others and the people around you. How can you provide even more pleasure, appreciation, gratitude? And, you know, this is really the role I see it as a superhero right now in these times, because there's such a great need and because there is so much suffering and because people can easily lose track of having that be a priority given how fast everything's coming at them. They're just trying to get, you know, the basics in.
Ah, what a blessing. I remember isn't that wonderful? You know, we really are designed for pleasure. I remember asking, what is the highest human experience? And what is it like to be in the golden age? There's all this talk of the golden age. I had this very in-depth, profoundly powerful vision of how it has to be embodied in the fullest form. And I just remember, there's lots of details, but I just remember the feeling I had of a love and happiness and joy and bliss, love and happiness especially. The love and happiness was so potent and so profound and so strong, I could barely stand up. Barely, it's almost like I had to just sit down and handle it, because there was this massive rush. And it never went away, even, and it didn't get turned down at all. It was just constant. And I actually really feel that is the state that we're designed to have. And if we didn't have negative thoughts and we didn't complain about things and didn't get spun out and have all this whole ego trips and all this weird stuff and sabotage that we have to deal with, if we just cleared that out of the way, what would be in front of us is these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful feelings. And it's the ego is such a subtle beast. It wants to be right. It wants to prove itself. It wants to be like this. It wants to be like that. And we lose out on these magical and just fantastic, deep, deeply nourishing experiences just for no real reason at all. So just want you to know you have it in your hands entirely to liberate yourself and feel those things like we all do.
Yay. So we got a lovely question here talking about water fasting. And just if we recommend it, and if so, why? And it's a good question. I like this subject, because it helps us, anyone that's done any water fasting. I actually did one day on spring water last week, and it was such an amazing day. I got myself into such a ridiculous state of being. It felt like I was on the most extraordinary cocktail of the most amazing drugs anyone could ever be on. And it was just, my body was just releasing bliss chemicals just because I'd hit the reset button drinking pure spring water. And this is a good example of this this joy factor and feel-good factor, because really and truly we need very, very little to feel absolutely wonderful. And it's the ego that wants everything and, you know, gets its get from acquiring and consuming. The soul loves to be in the fulfilled emptiness, you know, like the Holy Grail. That's what the Holy Grail symbolizes, when you're an empty cup, not a full one, an empty one. And the Holy Presence, the invisible presence, can fill you, just the beingness, the pure joy of being. And so water fasting, fasting one day, I would recommend everyone to do that. When Brother Michael and I were living together in Cambridge during that 2.5-year, 3-year period, when we were really on the program, we were water fasting one day a week, or at least most of us were in the house, as well as the hardcore meditation practices and the sattvic diet. And it's the best day of the week as far as I'm concerned, because there's so much energy available and good, just pure feelings of goodness, and you get to feel what the kind of like the negative impact is of solid food, or at least the definite complication that it creates, because all food, all the food that we eat and all the things that we drink, they create a hormonal, a biochemical consequence, and that biochemical consequence has to be balanced, you see. And so we need something else to balance it. For instance, if say you shovel down a big plate of pasta, okay, now that is going to put into your body a lot of very, very, very simple refined sugars that have been processed out of the original wheat thing that was in there originally. And these sugars are extremely destabilizing for your especially your neurology, your brain chemistry. Now that's going to have an impact on your glandular secretions and the hormones that are released from the glands, and very, very, very obviously the way you feel and the way you think. And so you need to balance that immediately or as swiftly as possible. And so you're going to get a prompting from the body to put something else in there. And I'm very, 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 very well versed in this alchemical process. Even if you really do know what you're doing, it's still very, very tricky to bring yourself back into a state of balance, a food-induced state of balance that gives you some kind of feel-good factor. But this is all a sort of a counterfeit experience to the pure joys that just one can experience from pure beingness, especially on those water fasting days. And you feel how food kind of jolts you around and spikes your blood and makes your mind race and creates like impulsive, compulsive urges and what have you. Whereas on a water fast day, you have a very, very, very constant state of being. And everyone can do one day a week. Everyone can do one day a week. The body doesn't actually start releasing vast amounts of toxicity into your blood, no matter how toxic you are, until the third day of a good fast. So I recommend one day a week for the water fasting. It's a wonderful thing, especially spring water. I did a little interview with David Wolf on the way to the airport a week or two ago, which is going to be posted up for you guys, or if it isn't already. And I asked him. We were talking about the water, and he's just absolutely adamant that there really is only one kind of water in the world that's worth drinking, and it is spring water, fresh from the source. Why? Because it has the blood of the earth in it. It has the spirit and the consciousness of the new earth in it. And as soon as we bottle that up, or bring it into any sort of reservoir and pipes, municipal piping system, as soon as that spirit feels itself trapped, it escapes. And so the life force from it has gone, the vibrational information, the imprint of that naturalness has gone, and we just can't get it. And I'm not knocking, the very good filters and all the rest of it. I'm just saying, he says, and I absolutely agree from my own experiences, that spring water is the stuff. So I would challenge all superheroes to find out where their local springs are or is. And even if it's not local, find out where your nearest spring water is and go there as a kind of little pilgrimage, and harvest spring water and do a little fast there while you're there, and just really, really, really allow yourself to experience what it's like to drop into that zero point of beingness with that liquid goodness, the blood of the earth, the new earth going into your body. It's absolutely fantastic, and you'll find that it is the highlight of your week if you do that on a weekly basis. So that's a wonderful thing. Now, one little thing I wanted to add to what Michael and Taylor already said about feeling good, if I may. A lot of us, have suffered greatly in our lives. We may be dealing with stressful situations. It could be children, dysfunctional partners, too much television on in the house that you live in, friction in your, mini community or whatever, just the ultra, ultra, ultra busyness of a very, very, very packed day that we have when we're, running businesses and have families and all the rest of it. Now, what we need in order to feel good in those circumstances when we're sort of in the matrix and on the move is the ability to adapt to stress instantaneously. And the adaptogenic herbs, if you're interested in nutrition, there's a classification of herbs and superfoods which are called adaptogens. And I encourage you to do a little homework on this if this is news to you. Adaptogens is the thing that you want to be putting into your smoothies, into your sauces, into your creams, into your food, into your chocolate, into your herbal teas, into everything. Lots of adaptogens. And when those adaptogens come into your body, they give you your glands an ability to adapt to stress factors. And that is one of the things, one of the traits and qualities that the superhero has that other people just simply do not. And that is the ability to adapt to increasing levels of stress. And it's very, 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 very important, especially if we're warriors on the front line and we're really mixing in with in the mosh pit of life, that we can adapt to these levels of stress. This is a really important subject here. So just while Brother Michael's sorting out the next question, I just want to answer another one about somebody's asking a question about Angel Qigong. If I can talk a little about Qigong and Archangel Qigong. What is its significance, why is it powerful, and how do I rank it with all the tools on the training? Well, Angel Qigong is very, very powerful indeed. If you're into your body, your physical body, and movement, and standing meditation, and you are interested in cosmic consciousness, how energy flows through your body, if you're interested in forgiveness and the power of prayer, the power of heart space, and also the angelic realms, and embracing the power of your animal totems, the animal part of your soul. If you're into any or all of those factors, then that is a very simple, very beautiful, very, 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 very powerful practice that I do on a very regular basis, and I put it as pretty close to the top of the list as why I have the juice in my field that I do. I don't know anything that makes me feel quite as good as doing a little Qigong session does. Great, 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 great practice. So if your ears are pricking up at that, get into it. And as far as the Archangel Qigong is concerned, that's just a condensed attitude. I find that the best thing I know, if I'm... because I do a tremendous amount of research, and some of the things that I'm obliged to consider are extremely disturbing, some of the news and some of the things that I uncover that are going on and other people uncover that are going on, extremely disturbing. And, of course, we're not here to react to evil, or the manifestations of evil, or let's call it the lack of love in the world, in a reactive, judgmental way. That's absolutely not what we're here to do. And when we do that, David Icke and all the rest of his band of brothers that are blowing the trumpet of look at this horrible stuff. When we do that, what we do is our focused energy gives it power, especially if we react in a horrified, angry, or fearful way. We need to move out of this as quickly as possible into a much higher level of consciousness where we can embrace it and accommodate it in our psyche and find a place for it, as shocking as it is. And Archangel Qigong is simply the swiftest method I know of making something that can be overwhelming, making it very, very small, virtually instantaneously, until it becomes, you know, a microscopic thing. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Archangel Qigong is basically, you know, the advanced Angel Qigong practice, and it's where you are imagining yourself as an archangel, standing as a guardian over the ages, and your feet are kind of like have talons. They're like eagles or something like that with claws on them. And you squeeze your talons into the ground, into the earth, because you practice Angel Qigong on the ground. You squeeze your talons into the ground or the carpet or the grass, wherever you are, the beach, wherever it is. You squeeze the talons, you grip, and you imagine you're this gigantic angelic being, and you have this what was a great problem of evil. You have it in your claws like a tiny little worm, and you make it absolutely tiny. You make it infinitesimally small. You see it way down there in the world, where it is just a speck of something very, very small that has no power over you whatsoever, because you are this huge archangelic presence. So it's, you know, it helped us step up our game very, very swiftly. And this is something that we, you know, we bang on about a lot, about solving problems from a higher level of consciousness. Well, that really means getting above it and feeling like you are much, 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 much bigger and higher than that thing is now. And that thing is a small thing. You make it small. Gerald talks about this as well. If you get any negative energies or entities on your astral traveling in the remote viewing that are frightening you, and a lot of this stuff has a terrifying appearance, you can make it small instantaneously just by willing it. And Archangel Qigong is a wonderful practice. And then just very quickly, that last little bit of the Archangel Qigong question, she's asking, where can we get the 9 Breaths of Amazing Grace? Well, you should find the 9 Breaths of Amazing Grace in your bonus, in the bonus section. And if it isn't there, if you can't find it, just sling Michelle an email and we'll sort it out here. So back to you, Brother Michael.
Thank you, bro. Many blessings. And, of course, just to mention, you know, if you're doing any fasting or any health protocols and have any health conditions, check with your physician as needed. And that goes to any of these practices, because at the end of the day, like we've mentioned various times, and it's important to remember that your health and well-being is in your hands. And so really make sure that you are captain of your soul and the one steering your life, and take these things on with clarity, you know, and get any extra clarity if you need it, because frankly this is a very powerful training. Any of these practices, they will have an effect on you, and that effect is going to be different from what you're experiencing before. And this is just the nature of change, you know. We sometimes forget this, but for example, if you wanted to move from one house to another, that may that means you're no longer going to be living in the old house, and you're going to have to move all your stuff out of your house if you want to keep it. Go to a new house and stop going to the old house. So that means when you drive back from your local places, you're going to pull into a different road, probably in a different place. All the rooms are different. The energy of the place is different. Sounds are different. It's very different. And moving house is one of the most traumatizing things for most people because it represents a big fundamental change. And what we're asking of you in this training, and the reason you've decided to do this superhero training, is to essentially move house in terms of how you feel about life, what you're doing with your time, your perception of things, your emotional state, your mental state, your physical state. These are tremendous changes on all levels. And it comes with it that destabilizing and death of the old, purely because if you're moving house, you no longer live in your old house. If you move jobs, you don't go to your old job anymore, you know. And we often like to think we can have the best of both worlds, keep all the old stuff and have the new stuff. But having two houses and living in two houses, I mean, that's not very useful. You know, trying to do two jobs is way too hard. So just understand what you're doing here is very deep, and it implies a letting go of certain things and a moving on of other things. So this might sound basically obvious to you, but it's just good to, you know, remember this, because the ego likes to think that it can just carry on exactly like it used to and do all these new things at the same time, which really isn't the case at all. So, anyone else who has any questions? We actually don't have any other questions right now. Yes, so feel free. And Taylor, if you want to share anything, by all means.
I just wanted to comment on the spring water. You know, there's a great website called findaspring.com, and Daniel Vitalis has that up, where people have volunteered where they are finding springs to list them. And, you know, the key with a spring is that you want to, especially now, especially in the eastern part of the U.S. where they're doing a lot of fracking and other disturbing underground practices, which are changing water tables, is to test it. And you can easily test. There's a lot of different ways you can test spring water, especially if it's, you know, I find I go to springs where either they're testing it, like they even have a little, out in the middle of nowhere, I'll find this little donation box there, and you put the water, you know, you put some money in just to go toward testing. So, because now things are changing so rapidly, particularly in the northeast. But, you know, there's really, like Nick was saying, there's really nothing like spring water. We, one year, Jeff and I decided to go on a hot spring, natural spring trip across the United States. It was going to be 4 months. We took my mother in a van, and we plotted out our entire destination based on natural hot springs, national parks, and springs. And the goal was just to absolutely experience and submerge ourselves and discover every spring that we could across the United States. We took the southern route out and the northern route back. It took us 4 months. Went to every national park, every spring. We even found springs. And essentially how we did a massive amount of research before we left. And then when we get into towns, we would just ask the local people. And that's what I want to say, because the older local people know where the springs are in little towns and communities. And even in big cities, like my next-door neighbor, he's 91, he can tell me where every spring in Pittsburgh was. Now, whether it's still there or not is a whole other story. But, you know, because that's where he and his family used to go and get their water. And so that's a really good resource, is to talk to people that used to drink water from springs and, you know, see if they're still there or not. A lot of those people still are. You know, like the spring that we go to a little bit north of here, people that have been going there, you know, you always meet people around the spring, have been going since they were young children. You know, this was their water source. And most cities, especially little towns, the reason why there's a town anywhere is because there's water there. There is some spring or source of water. And so you don't have to talk to too many people to discover where the springs are. And I really encourage you to do that. And you know, one of the projects I've taken on is in finding these old springs. Jeff and I, like, we'll go and spend the whole day just clearing them out, you know, getting all the trash and rubbish out of the way and putting them back into their pristine state. You know, on this four-month trip we took across the United States, I documented, photographed all the springs. And the structures that people used to build around the springs, there's one actually right here, a little bit north of here. I'll send a picture, actually. I'll put it on the superhero site because it's so phenomenal. And the amount of time and mastery that went into honoring this spring is phenomenal. I've never seen anything like it. There's this huge stone structure built, this like somehow stone dome to cover it and protect it. And at the very top of it, there's this emblem that says, the fountain of life. Fountain of youth. The fountain of youth. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but when I heard about this, it was just like this casual comment. Someone had said, oh, yeah, I know of an old spring that, you know, it's called the fountain of youth. I mean, I could not get there fast enough. You know, it was like, drop everything. We have to get to this place. And sure enough, you know, it was all covered in leaves, and, you know, people just drive by. You know, it's not even, nobody even knows about this place. And yet, the way that it's, the architecture that's designed around the spring, you know, it's just, it was a sacred, holy space, that whatever that water is there is the best water ever, you know, and it's still there. And that's what you'll discover in these old little places just hidden away. The spring houses that people made are fantastic because to them, that this was the most sacred thing in their community, the most sacred thing ever. And so I really believe it's our mission to rekindle that appreciation and sacredness for spring water on the planet and to bring awareness to it. You know, and appreciation and honoring of it and protect it and to really protect it from, you know, whatever, you know, just mining or, you know, who the heck knows what, abuse or getting piped up and put into, you know, mostly what they're doing is piping it up and redirecting it and putting it into a river, who knows what. So I really encourage you, yeah, it's one of the most fantastic things. We love to just, you know, find springs, go to springs, hang out at springs, enjoy springs, submerge ourselves wherever you can, your whole body, into springs, and enjoy them. There was this water, I don't know if you remember it, maybe you might, Nick, it was called Trinity Spring Water. Do you remember that company?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
It was a bottled water. It was like one of the first that came out and had, like, it was really kind of cool label with, like, crystals on it. It was like, whoa, what the heck's that, Trinity Spring Water? And it was high vibe. I mean, it was a bottled water. It was in the stores. And I went right to it. Like, the silica content was off the charts. And I picked it up, and I'm like, all right, where does this come from? And that was that started the whole, we're going to go find this. And I turned it over the bottle, and there at the bottom of the bottle, it had Paradise Springs, Idaho. No, just Paradise, Idaho. I said, all right, that's it. You know, we're going to go here. We are just going to go here. And so we put it on the map. Well, This place was out in the, no one even knew, we couldn't even find it on the map. I mean, it was ridiculous. You know, my mother's like, we need to turn around. This is, you know, where are we going? This is crazy. I mean, she was somewhat on for the trip, but, you know, when we would take these completely ridiculous off back roads looking for spring, she was starting to get a little irritated. But anyways, it ended up, we drove for days into wilderness like I've never been in, because we had heard that, you know, there it was out there somewhere. And they had trucks. They were getting at the store somehow. You know, we had to get there. Anyways, we arrived at the Trinity Springs, and this place was the most off-the-charts place I've ever been to on the planet. They had constructed this incredible, you know, little bottling facility around a total crystal spring. The entire spring was lined with crystals. You could actually look into it. It was just the whole thing was lined with. It was unbelievable. And out there was this whole pool that flowed out from it. You could get in. That the whole bottom was crystals. And the sunlight in the day in the sun. It was a warm spring. And you could actually get in it and swim around. It was the most amazing experience ever. In the sun, the whole thing just glittered. Glittered. And it was out in the middle of nowhere. When we were there, we saw wolves. You know, we woke up in the morning, there were wolves. You know, just camped out by the spring. You know, bears, you know, bobcats. I mean, it was wild. It was pure wilderness. And it was a peak experience. And, you know, how they discovered the spring, it was three guys, which is why they called it Trinity, three brothers, was all the Indians, which is another way to discover springs, is because all the Indians knew where the springs were, and that's where they went to their water, watched all the, you know, whenever an animal got sick, they would follow it and watch what it did. And 9 times out of 10, the animal would lead him to the best water and the best springs, the sick animal, to rejuvenate itself instantly. And that's how they found this spring. It was out in the middle of nowhere because they just followed all the animals. And this water was just, it was just the most amazing water ever. And unfortunately, because it was out in the middle of nowhere, and it was quite expensive to even get a truck back in there to fill up the water bottles, it, you know, it did not survive in the supermarkets. And I don't even know what, you know, happened. But if you're ever in Idaho or anywhere near Idaho, I highly recommend seeking that out. And in general, there are these gems all over the place. All over the place are miraculous, healing springs of light, of just pure life force. You get in those things, and it totally reorganizes your system. It's better than the ocean because it's pure. You know, it's just pure life force. It really is the blood of the earth. It's the best thing ever. Dinosaurs swam in most spring water. I've gone to springs in Florida that dinosaurs swam in. You know, that are the aquafilters that have never been fussed around by humans at all. I mean, that's just the best food there is. You know, you just get in that water and you're that's just a healing miracle in and of itself.
Absolutely. And you know what, as well, Taylor and you guys, when I went to the spring the other day, I was really inspired to go. And I did a very, very, very slow walk to get to the place. I did, I can get up there in half an hour from the car park to the spring head if I want to. And it took me 2 hours to do it. I was doing a really meticulous, very, very slow meditation walk along the rocks, along the slippery rocks of the river, all the way up there. It took 2 hours to do it. Just an immaculate experience. When I got there, I got down on my knees, and I said prayers, ho'oponopono prayers, and really asked for forgiveness. And I was really, really realizing how important it is for us to go to the spring heads and pray. And put the intention and the love and the new let the waters of the earth, let the blood of the earth, the spirit of the earth, feel and connect with the new human, these new kinds of people that are walking around on it, that are becoming conscious, that are not into following the machine anymore, that are seeking higher ways of being. And it really, 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 really struck me as a profoundly important thing for us all to be doing. So I really got into it, and I took 108 good swags of water while I was on my knees, and I realized how dehydrated I was, even though I drink tons of water through this really good filters that we have in Ninyland, and I eat tons of raw juicy foods. I was massively dehydrated from something essential that only the spring water has in it, and my body was absolutely rejoicing in it. And I'm going to go again tomorrow and take some of the Ninyland family up there with me tomorrow as well. We've got that scheduled in. So we got a little question here from someone about what are the parameters for drinking spring water. They're concerned about sulfur levels and whatnot. Basically, you want there's different kinds of spring water. Like when I was in Lanzarote, I was just looking at some old photographs of the Gentle Warrior experience down there. And when I was in Lanzarote, which is a little island in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of the Northwest Africa, in Spanish Africa, a wild, 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 mad place. And when I was over there, I found a spring over there. It was more of an aquifer that somebody had tapped into. But the water was very young, so it was very hard, the water was. That means it hadn't had the time to soak through the rocks, because it's rainwater soaking through the rocks that finds its way into an aquifer and then comes out somewhere, squeezes bubbles up through the earth. But if it's young water, if it hasn't been soaking in there for long enough, you can taste it, and it's hard. It's hard water. It's high, very high mineral content water. And that stuff's not as good for you as the low mineral content, which is old spring water, ancient spring water, that's taken the time it takes, however long it is, to go through soak through all of the different rocks and layers to get in the aquifer and spend time in the aquifer and before it bubbles out onto the surface. And you want that aged water, which is soft. It feels soft and it looks oily and it tastes really, really good. And this stuff in Lanza really wasn't that good at all. And we had a retreat down there, and everyone wanted to go to the spring and get the water. But it was like, okay, we can go, but it ain't that good. And, I'm probably not going to be drinking it because I don't like the hard water. So you have to, find the most of the springs, it's good water. But you'll tune in. But in any case, whether it's good or bad water coming out, or let's say higher or lower mineral content water coming out, it's still, the consciousness around there is still very, very high in these wild places that Taylor's talking about. So enjoy that consciousness and bathe in the waters if you can. And, have a little homeopathic slurp of it if it's hard water. And, and just try and find those older springs. I don't know. And also, other parameters like smell is obviously another one. If it doesn't smell good, don't drink it. But if it feels good and tastes good and smells good and looks good, then get into it. It should always be cold. Normally, spring water is like around 55 degrees and is, very cold water, very refreshing to drink. Kind of takes your breath away when you jump in it or wash yourself down in it. And, find a way. Do some other research. David Wolf's got a lot of videos on it. I think Daniel Vitalis might have as well. those guys are really into spring water too. But get out there and get up there and say your prayers and really tune in there, and you'll find it enlightening, empowering, and a lot of fun.
Yeah, have fun with it. And if anyone listening to this is like, I don't have a spring right near me, the next one is like 6 hours drive, and and you're thinking that you're missing out and there's something wrong with you, just relax. This isn't something that you have to sort of start looking for a new house tomorrow and next to a spring. But go for it if you can. I love drinking the spring water down at Secrets. That's lovely. You try that one, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And I drink it coming off the moss. It like hangs off the moss as just in these beautiful drips that come off. But it really, really do feel the difference, and it's almost like an energy purification. That's what I find. But again, like I said, if that's not realistic for you right now, right away, don't think that you're missing out and that you're going to have you're not going to have the best day ever. Because the main thing is try and get rehydrated. Because like Nick was saying, we think we're hydrated, we think we're recently, I really was on the mission to get fully hydrated, and I was drinking, praying over the water, putting different things in it to make it super wet water. Crystal Energy is a good product. Crystal Energy. Yeah, Crystal Mana Energy. It's a little thing you add to your water. It makes it wetter. It makes it more absorbable, and it just really feels good. But you'll find if you just start drinking more water, eating cucumbers and things like that are high water content, celery, and really go for it and stop taking acid-forming foods, and you just really go for your liquids, you'll start to feel dehydrated, which is the funny thing. You drink, and you start feeling dehydrated. And my sense is that we are actually constantly dehydrated unless we're really on the case all the time. And you just notice after about sort of a day or, 6 hours or whatever, 2 days, how dehydrated you were, but never noticed. So you really go on a mission to rehydrate yourself, because it's such a nightmare being dehydrated, and we just put up with it. And how can we have pleasure when our body is mainly water and it's dehydrated? It's the most fundamental thing next to the breath. So really just pay attention, and like Dr. Emoto's work, the power of holding intention for the water, giving it love and blessings, writing little thank you notes on the water that you drink out of, all those things are powerful. Mm-hmm. So just focus on being rehydrated, and then wherever possible, go and get your goodies from the spring, because nothing quite like it. And jumping in water, swimming in water, It's just profound. I do it all the time.
I just want to say something there, and I'm sure Mike's got something to say about this as well. I'd love to hear what he's got to say. Everything in the world of form, everything in the material world, is a symbol for something more real. Everything in the world of form is impermanent and changes and goes away one day. But it symbolizes something on an inner plane that may very well be eternal. And these spring waters, the spring water principle, or the symbol of the spring water, the spring bubbling out the ground, it's a symbol for the wellspring, the living waters within you. Now, this is spiritual talk here. This is esoteric communication. A little mystery here being revealed. There is a living spring, a wellspring of goodness within you, and that's the most important place to go. You don't have to worry about traveling 300 miles to find this spring, associate this with anything to do with your salvation. Here's a much more important journey within you, much closer, 100 miles, and that's the portal you want to be very familiar with. The wellspring of happiness, the wellspring of joy, the wellspring of illumination, enlightenment, of inspiration, our vitality, of wisdom. There is this sacred place within you. And that is the place to visit, to pilgrimage to, constantly over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And what you'll find is, you know, when we were talking there about, you know, I realized we've been talking about water and food and supplements and adaptogens and crystals and this and that. And now I just get this little flash of one of these yogis that was buried alive at the Kumbh Mela festival. One of the times when I was watching it, the Kumbh Mela is this gigantic festival that they have in India. I think it's every 11 years.
I think it might be this year, actually.
Oh, it could be this year. So this could be, if anyone's feeling the call to go to the Kumbh Mela and be buried alive, I think Brother Michael's going to be leading the retreat over there this year, as he might just have to take a little bit of chocolate down there with him, just in case he starts to crack up halfway through it. Because they buried this yogi alive, and there's many of them that have done it. You know, they literally dig a big hole, and they put some kind of a box in the ground there, a strong box, or build some kind of structure, and then just cover the whole thing with all of this earth and stuff, and just literally bury this little person alive in this tiny little box. And of course all the air gets used up very, very quickly, and there's no light whatsoever, and the festival goes on. And I can't remember how long it goes on for, can you? It's a month, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, it's actually 2013, and it's a month. Yeah,
so it's a month long, 2013 the next one. And they literally have millions of people going from all over India, lots of people making a spiritual pilgrimage, all kinds of gurus and swamis and chelas and initiates and disciples and the Hare Krishnas there.
And naked people, yeah, with beards,
yeah,
and everything.
What do you call those guys? The ascetics and the, you know, all of these like super hardcore renunciants are really into this, going to this place. It's for these incredible meetings. And they have a wonderful time. And this this ability to be able to, you know, while all of this wonderful, fascinating, these wonderful, fascinating distractions are going on above the ground, these extreme yogis who say, I'm going down, I'm going to miss all this, and just, you know, you can bury me alive for the whole 30 days, and then they dig them out after the 30 days. And I remember seeing this guy coming out, and he was just exactly the same as he was when he'd gone in, just a big smile on his face, nothing's happened, you know, everything's just normal, blessings to everyone, and you know, we're all going to, you know, walk back 1,000 miles to wherever we came from and, you know, get on with it. And so these wonderful individuals, they're great demonstrators of everything is decoration on the Christmas tree compared to this wellspring within you. If you haven't got that, you haven't got anything at all. And everything that you think you have got is going to get taken away from you. It's going to get screwed with. Your beautiful air that you love breathing, that fresh air, is going to get chemtrailed. Your beautiful water that you love drinking, that water, is going to get chemicals put in it. That lovely park where you like going walking, well, they're going to come and chop down the trees or build a road through it. This beautiful place that you've just bought and it's so peaceful, well, the rowdy neighbors are going to move in down the road with yapping dogs or whatever, you know. This is the way of the world. We are constantly being challenged to adapt to our environment being screwed with in one way or another. And if you really look at it, what's going on in the world, you'll see that the great materialistic civilization that the United States of America represents, modern civilization, the modern civilization in all its pompous, arrogant splendor, with all of its guns and rockets and 4th of July fireworks and flag waving and chest beating and strutting around and huffing and puffing, you see now how that civilization is crumbling, just like Rome burned, like the Egyptian civilization fell, like the Mayan civilization fell, like the Incas fell, the Aztecs fell, like everyone fell, like the Ripprish Empire fell, like they all fell. It's all crumbling. The only difference is that it's the modern-day civilization we're getting to witness it. And millions of people like you and I, honest, hardworking individuals that are having a go and trying to do the best of what they've got, and, you know, we're totally sold on the great American dream. There's millions and millions and millions of these people are in ruin. They're their dream is in tatters, and it will never, ever, ever come back to them in this lifetime. That particular illusion has been erased from the realm of their possibility forever. And it's been stamped on in a horrible, merciless way. Now, what it's doing, the gift in all of this, is it's driving us, it's making us go to that wellspring within us, to that fountain of irrepressible beauty, of unstoppable inspiration, of indestructible power, of eternal life, that one eternal place. And there is only one, and it exists within you. And that's the place to go. And that's what superhero training is all about. It's all about that. And if you've got that, you can drink any water you want. And I just want to finish on this note because it's really, really, really important. You know, I'm a realist and I like to really get in the nitty-gritty with it. And that's where I live. I live on the front line. I'm very often in the mosh pit. And I've had extreme experiences in my life and I've got some more coming up. So I need to be able to function on the highest levels of my game in the most challenging situations, most challenging scenarios. I need to be able to access resources that can allow me to do that. And we all do. And so this is the place to go. And I tell you, you are being challenged right now with the chemtrails, with the electromagnetic warfare, with the psychological warfare, with the vibrational warfare, with the media onslaught into your psyches, with the educational programming and the conditioning that you've had, with the way you've been immersed in this culture that is in absolute decay for however many decades it is now that you have been immersed in this, you're all being challenged to function in those situations, those facets of it, even if they get more toxic, more aggressive, more ridiculous, more oppressive, you're all being challenged not just to function and get by and survive and grovel around, but to actually thrive and to shine in it and to really crack it from the inside. This is what the challenge is. And you're going to have to do it. I promise you, you're going to have to do it. And I got a nice little litmus test on this a couple of years ago. I'm sure a bunch of you have heard this story before, but I'm just going to tell it for the ones that haven't. I had to go back to the United Kingdom because my mum was taking a turn for the worse, and I hadn't seen her for about 7 years. And so she was missing me and calling me in, and she reckoned she was going to croak. And so I went over. And on the way from Hawaii, where I'd been living for 7 years, like a jungle man, I'm a wild man. I like to live in the nature. I sleep outside. I don't mind getting rained on. I like it. I like the wild side of life. And I'd been living this lifestyle for 7 years, and I can smell things. I can hear things that normal people can't smell and hear. My senses are acutely aware. Vibrationally, I'm very aware. I'm not that comfortable inside
the house, certainly not sleeping. I don't like hanging around in carpets and enclosed areas and stuff like that. I just don't like the smell. I don't like washing powders and deodorants and all of those things. So I get the call to go back to England. Now, halfway as I'm traveling across America, or I'm on the way to traveling across America, I find out that Mexico City has been quarantined with the swine flu, and London has been put on a pandemic alert by the World Health Organization, and people are coming down with swine flu, being rushed to hospital with swine flu, dying of swine flu, and that there's lots and lots and lots of people with the symptoms, which resembles something like the Black Death or the Black Plague, where they're literally coughing their lungs up and hawking up black chunks of black blood and stinking breath and just a hideous, hideous physical experience this is. So I was going into all this. Hypersensitive jungle boy is going into, jetting in directly into Mexico City, hanging out in Mexico City for a while, which is already quarantined, and then going immediately to London. And so I had my little freak out for momentarily. I was just, you know, I hit the panic button a little bit, and I'm like, oh, you know, like Beaker off the Muppet Show. You remember Beaker off the Muppet Show in Muppet Labs? They're always doing the experiments on Beaker. And, you know, he freaks out. So I had my little Beaker moment, and I pulled myself together, and I said to myself, well, you're just going to have to get your head into this, mate, and really get your mind into it and deal with it. So I went through Mexico City, and I enjoyed myself in Mexico City. I won't say it wasn't challenging. It was. And then I jetted into London, absolutely, absolutely exhausted after lots and lots and lots of air travel and buses going through Mexico, planes and trains and deals from Hawaii. And it was really... you know, a very exhausting thing. And I arrived there with all my bags, a big backpack, a front pack, and I had all my superfoods with me and chocolate making kit and gifts and all of these things. And I hit London, got the train from Heathrow Airport into central London, hit the rush hour, and I was straight into thousands of people, droves of them, and sandwiched in like sardines on the underground trains with, you know, literally with your face pressed in into somebody else's, you know, back or armpit or shoulders or something, you know, face to face with people just sandwiched like sardines. And I noticed a lot of these people on this train were coughing dreadfully and had symptoms of swine flu. Somebody had, a lot of them had masks on, and this was on. And I remember when I was walking through this at one stage with my bags and literally thousands of people coming towards me, all their energies, all these vibrations, all these strange smells, just visualizing my energy field, the geometry of my auric field, the geometry of my Merkaba, like two interlocking pyramids counter-rotating, which is called a Merkaba, counter-rotating spinning fields that create this a wonderful geometric shape called a star tetrahedron. I was imagining this star tetrahedron spinning, and all of the energy that was coming into me from these people, I was with my mind set in a very, very powerful, definite, proactive way. I was imagining everything that I was absorbing through my solar plexus being transmuted in this spinning field to pure love. And I just walked and walked and walked through miles and miles and miles of this intricate network of droves and droves and droves of people that resembled orcs and a cross between Mordor and the Middle Ages with the Black Plague. I mean, diseased people, shockingly unhealthy-looking individuals. And I just absorbed all this energy, transmuted it within me, in me, to pure love, and was absolutely blissing out on this experience. Bliss, 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 walking through it all. And I ended up having to stay in England for close to nigh on a year it was, with one thing and another, with my mum and what have you. It was definitely more than 9 months, 9 or 10 months. And it was freezing cold as well to boot, really cold when I got there. And I remember I went through this whole thing, and I went and stayed with these people that I'd stayed with. I'd never met them before. They were organizing some events for me. And I stayed in this little wooden shed, in their wood shed in the middle of the woods. And it was winter time. There was 6 inches of snow on the ground, freezing cold. And I had there was more ice on the inside of the windows than there was outside of the windows when I woke up in the morning. And I never even got a sniffle. And I was out in the morning, early morning, rolling around in the snow naked, just absolutely loving it. And I was astonished, absolutely amazed at the vitality of my immune system when I was there. Why? Yeah, I do take lots of herbs and adaptogens and superfoods, and I'm an avid raw foodist, and I like to fast and all the rest of it. I do all that, but I tell you, more importantly, I got my head into it. I know where that wellspring is within me, the real spring of life, and I know how to set my mind in an invincible way and transmute anything that appears, takes on any appearance around me, into an astonishingly positive experience. That's just the proof of my pudding. I put the theory into practice, and that was the proof of my pudding. So let's just balance that with, you know, we'd go to the springs and take the adaptogens and all the rest of it and how good the spring water is with going to that spring source within you and that unshakable mindset of invincibility.
Well said, brother. Yes, have the best day ever no matter what, and add all these little extra things if you can, but if you can't, it's not a problem at all. Non-causal joy, Brother Nicholas is telling me. So yes, quite honest with you, personally speaking, it's my own mind that is the cause of all my problems. and also if I get the mind under control, I feel better, my emotions are better, my heart is good. In other words, get the ego out of the way and we're all good, healthy, wealthy, happy, and having the best day ever. And then from that space, you can add in wonderful spring waters and superfoods and jumping around. But don't let your happiness be based on all these things, because it's always going to be up for grabs, potentially. So, with no last question by the looks of it, so we just want to thank you for being here. Please do send us questions in the future. We would love to hear from you. And just want to congratulate you and share love and blessings again from my heart and from all of us for really doing this deep inner work and looking at yourself and making these shifts and really going to a higher level of consciousness where you can appreciate paradoxes and you can really see things clearly and be a massive benefit to others in a world that absolutely needs you right now. The world is crying out in distress, and you're one of those souls who can help. So, blessings.
Oh, just love and blessings to everyone. You said it, mate. Let's give Taylor the last words. Is she still there?
Taylor, last words?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I think that sums it all up. So thanks so much, everyone. Have the best day ever tomorrow. Get up early and really go for it. And we'll look forward to talking to you soon.